All right, Sunday morning, 10:8:23, we're going to look at the sacrifice of praise. We looked at living sacrifice last week, so this week a living sacrifice. All right, we're going to look into what does that actually mean to give the sacrifice of praise. We're kings and priests to the Lord, and part of this priestly duty is the sacrifice of praise. Okay, turn to Hebrews chapter 13. I think if I ever get started, I won't quit. You know, maybe that's why I don't say anything. Maybe it's not my time. But anyway. All right, Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. All right? A priestly duty is a continual duty. And it's to be offered up in all situations and all circumstances. I'm going to give you an Old Testament type and shadow. This is 1 Samuel 1. All right, I'll try to read some of these words. Botch them up, that's okay. Verse 1, now there was a man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, I guess, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah, and Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. When the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken here too. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they arose in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord established his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thou soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. So when I was doing this, that's what the Lord quickened to me as a type and shadow of someone that they worshiped and lived and ministered to the Lord continually their entire life. All right, the priestly duty is a continual duty. They offer up sacrifices, but not bulls and goats, thanksgiving and praise. We know that Samuel was a priest, prophet of all of the Lord all his days. We are like lively stones in the spiritual house, dwelling in the Lord's house forever. In fact, you can go over in Revelation and read about the foundations of the city. All out of stones. The priests in the Old Testament were called to the priesthood until they died. It wasn't just you're elected and you're kicked out. No, it's until you died. That's how it was with Samuel. All right, 1 Peter 2. The foundations of the New Jerusalem, 12 kinds of stones. This is a spiritual book. Just like I told you, we are spiritual. The church is spiritual force in the earth. God knew that by their blood of bulls and goats, that they couldn't take out the enemy. I mean, it was obvious, right? He knew he had to have a spiritual force. 1 Peter 2, 5. 2. Ye also are lively stones, or built up a spiritual house. Let's go over to Revelation right quick. Just put your finger there. All right. Chapter 7 talks about the 12 tribes. I believe it's 21. It's chapter 21. Let's start with verse 9 there. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon. And there are angels at the churches too. All right, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel? These are the scattered tribes that are gathered in chapter 7. Chapter 7. On the east three gates, on the north three gates, on the south three gates, on the west three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and then the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Then it goes on to describe, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof, and the city lieth four square, and the length as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to measure of man, that is of the angel. Isn't that the 144 that there on a couple chapters over, like I think chapter 9, where he saw them standing with the Lord on Mount Zion, the 144,000 with him, those that were sealed. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. It was pure gold, like unto clear glass, and the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth a sardonyx, the sixth a sardis, the seventh a cryolite, the eighth the beryl, the ninth the topaz, the tenth the chrysoprase, the 11th the jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was a one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold and was transparent glass. All right, let's go back. 1 Peter 2, 5. Ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. Maybe this will help you see the book of Revelation as a spiritual book. So that's what's tripped up the church. They're looking at everything from a natural perspective. They're looking for a man beast to step up. They're looking for a physical temple to be built in Israel. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. That's what's going down, this rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So we are his building. We're the house of God. Not a physical building. And I'm not saying you don't build buildings to have people meet in them, but you need to know, well, this is the house of God. No, it isn't. It is not. It's just a building. All right, priesthood here means the priestly fraternity or the sacerdotal order. This is figurative, of course. In the Old Testament, it was natural order. But in this sense, it is a spiritual order. Okay, our priestly position is spiritual. Jesus showed us the way. All right, this is Hebrews chapter 4. There's so much. I just picked some. Hebrews 4:14. My aim is to get our eyes off of so much of the fleshly stuff into what really matters, the spiritual, you know? It can't do anything but help us. All right, 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So Jesus set an example. All right, Hebrews 5:1, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Well, we know we don't have to do that today. Jesus was the sacrifice. Our sacrifice is praise. All right. Let's keep going here. Through Jesus' sacrifice, the priesthood changed. What has the Holy Spirit been trying to teach us all these years to stop just doing stuff and following the Spirit? How will we do this? By praying in the Spirit. When we have a problem, this morning I was asking the Lord about some things that I've gone through for a long time, and He told me what one of them is, but He didn't give me the words to speak yet. And I'm not saying what it is, so don't ask me. Okay. Because I know, after church, what was it? All right. Romans 8, 26 to 28. When the mountain's gone, I'll tell you. Okay. All right. Romans 8, 26. All right. Keep in mind the word that was before. We are a spiritual house. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. This is our priestly. We also do that for others. See, we do this. People ask me to pray. This is what I do. I pray in the Spirit. And sometimes the Lord will give me something, sometimes He doesn't. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He's not asking you to do this in your flesh. He's giving you the Holy Spirit to do it. And we know that all things work together for good. See, when you do it the right way, it will always work for good. Because God, you know, when you pray here, you're praying the perfect will of God when you pray in the Spirit. To them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, right? You do it His way, it can only be good. Only be good. No one has not benefited from praying in the Spirit. All right, what did the TPC word I just read to you say? TPC word. I don't know what I wrote that for. Okay. Prophet's Corner. The Prophet's Corner word. I wrote here, we are a spiritual house, a spiritual birth, the temple rent so we may come to God. God now inside of us, a spiritual temple. We have become, by the new birth, God does not want a temple made with hands, but by the infilling of the Holy Spirit, we now have a spiritual language to communicate and offer thanksgiving. We have spiritual armor and weapons to do spiritual warfare. None of this is natural. It is all supernatural or spiritual. Oh, how much time we waste on physical things that have no power to help us or to save us in any way. I mean, if that could have been done, they would still be doing the bulls and the goats and all that mess today. We must come out of religious rituals and flow with the spiritual. God has done it all for us. When the Godhead bodily lives inside of you, it just doesn't get any better than that. All right, even as people of faith, we have had to unlearn so much. And I'll give you some examples of that, but let me read Romans 8, 14 before I do that. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. All right. Now, this is how we heard it. I'm not saying the people that taught it to us, they didn't do it right, but we received something else. If you just say it enough, you'll get it. Confession brings possession. From what I understand, that's not true. And I'll say this because I think when you pray through and God tells you to speak to a mountain, that's when you possess. Because if it was by how much you did it, I should not have any problems today. Like I said, I mean nothing ill towards anybody that taught us faith. I believe they walked in it. But for people that didn't know anything, you just grab a hold of it and you start doing physical things. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I mean, till you just wore out and fall on the floor. I mean, just, I remember when we started, Danny was sick in bed with the flu, and I had it too, and I was standing up in the room, and I was just walking and pacing the floor and saying scriptures and all that kind of stuff, you know, just. What?
You read the whole book of Hebrews to me that day.
Really, the whole book?
The whole book of Hebrews, you started reading the whole book to me. Remember, I never forget.
Well, I won't say that I never got anything by reading the word like that, but the point is when it becomes alive in here. It's when, yes, it will. But just doing it, it's like, you know, I guess it was Charles Capps or whoever said, it's like praying the rosary. The confession becomes like that. Yeah. Well, if I just say it enough, no, it's the spirit part of it that we were missing right there. Anyway. All right. How many times did Jesus speak to the mountain? Once. And then, when he passed it the next day, the only one who saw it was Peter. Which doesn't surprise me, knowing Peter. Jesus didn't even acknowledge. All right. When we move with the Holy Spirit, it will only take one time. If we pray in the Spirit and God says, gives you what you're supposed to say, and you say it, it happens. I've had that happen a few times. I'm sorry to say a few times. But it does. All right. You cannot do it with flesh and blood. All the rituals that you go through, all the faith books you read, and all God's medicine or whatever you read, they're just words on a page until it becomes alive in here. Until it becomes a rhema word. All right. That's why Jesus told Peter on this rock. He didn't mean Peter the Pope. He meant the rock. See, the word's built on revelation knowledge. The church is built on revelation knowledge. That's what Paul got from God. He took him to the backside of the desert, gave him the epistles to the church, and that's what he brought. Just like John on the Isle of Patmos, those letters to the churches, that was by the Spirit of God. We're a spiritual house. If anything that I could get across to anyone would be, quit doing stuff. You'd be better off to not do anything. And then when the Lord says do something, do it. And you'll see results. And you won't be discouraged and so wore out all the time. Just a hoping and a praying and a hoping. I thought, oh, don't think you will gonna receive anything unless God just has mercy on you. That's all I know. I'm just a hoping and a praying and a hoping and a praying. No, that never got anybody anything. Maybe dead. I know you get weary. I'm with you. I know. But if we can get our focus on the right thing, I think we'll be a lot less weary. You might as well just go on and do your work, what you need to do, and get your mind off of it. And just pray in the Spirit while you do it. So God can give you what you need. He can give you that rhema word that's going to manifest, going to move a mountain. I know the deal with my granddaughter. When Dana was going to give her up for adoption, and she wanted me to pick the parents, and I was going, oh, heck no, I ain't doing this. I can't do this. And I prayed for 3 weeks on and off. Because I thought, I can't give up my first grandchild or any of them. But then one day, the Lord said, Speak this. I mean, it was like a blast. Speak this. I was authoritative. And I did. Next day I got a call. Come get your daughter. She was in a maternity home. Come get your daughter. The father has stopped the adoption. That was the first time anything like that had ever happened to me. But I tell you what, you know, you just, and the whole time, those 3 weeks, I was just groaning over this. That's what the Spirit was working in there, taking care of it. Okay. All right, let's keep going here. Jesus had an inside spiritual walk. He did not move independently of the Father in anything that he did. He did not, as the Son of God, just do stuff. Even with the wine. Woman, what do you want from me? He couldn't turn that water into wine because he was the Son of God. He couldn't do it any more than you can as a Son of God. He had to wait on Father's word. And what was Father's word? He told him to turn the water into wine. And it wasn't just that nickel and dime stuff. It was the best wine. It was the best. God don't do anything shabby. We're all fixing to find that out. All right. Okay, so why are we trying to just do stuff? Aren't you a son of God? When you finally get a hold of this, we will be people of few words. We will. We'll get to where we don't talk much. Why? We don't want to waste our words. We've already wasted enough of them. All right, Hebrews 11. When your words become powerful, you have to watch your words, because if you say wrong words, it'll happen. Like Brother Cap's talking about, you know, that guy, he better get him something better to drive. His car's going to just be fall apart. And or those people, the neighbors, if they don't stop that, their house is going to burn down. That kind of thing. He got some manifestations of that kind of thing. He said some things. Yeah. All right, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, it wasn't a fleshly work with building material. It was by faith, spoken words. Is what framed the world. And see, that's why we are supposed to operate also. Okay. All right, let's look a little bit further into the priesthood. Let me get me a Kleenex. The first word that we read, and this is Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Right here, the word offer in the Strong's means to take up literally or figuratively. The Vines further explains to lead or carry up or to bear or to bring. Now, we looked at sacrifice last week. Sacrifice is to give up something precious or dear. So what are we doing? We are sacrificing, bringing praise to God, and not using our words wrongly. We're praising, okay? God knows how people are and how we like to say stuff. He created us this way, but when we follow the Spirit, we will say words that do something positive, words that move mountains. Satan has targeted our minds to force us into speaking stuff we don't want, creating mountains we do not want. Isn't that what we're dealing with, the seven mountain mandate that is all infiltrated with the deep state? Okay, this is what praise is. The act of praising, especially a thank offering. Is that just saying, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus? No. It means to, this is what thanks mean, to assent, covenant, or acknowledge. Giving thanks is acknowledging covenant. In other words, Lord, I believe what your word says over what's happening to me or what I'm experiencing, and I just want to give you thanks that you're taking care of it for me. I go around saying, Lord, I just give you thanks and I cast my care. Give you thanks, I cast my care. What does thanks do? It gets you in agreement with your covenant with God. We all know how powerful the prayer of agreement is. So you get in agreement with God by your thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. There's all kinds of psalms. David, he was the one that knew all about coming before the Lord in praise and thanksgiving. All right? I would say probably the most important thing we can do as Christians is to pray in the Spirit and stay thankful. If we don't do anything else, those two things. All right, we're just going to look at some scriptures here about giving thanks. Praying in the Spirit gives thanks well. This is 1 Corinthians 14. This is 13. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say, Amen, if thou give him a thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. So when you pray in the Spirit, you're giving thanks to God. That makes sense, doesn't it? This is a spiritual language for a spiritual people, a spiritual church. Okay, 15, 1 Corinthians 15, 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If I'd have written every scripture, I'd had page after page after page after page of what talks about using that word thanks or thanksgiving in it. All throughout. All right. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. You know what? When you come into his presence and you start thanking him on how of a good God he is, how he is so faithful, how he always comes through. He likes that. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You know what a gate is? We talked about possessing the gate of your enemy. It's the place of authority. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. That's his presence. We can't do it enough. We really can't. But if you just can't just sit there and say those words, then pray in the Spirit. You're giving thanks well when you do. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Starting with verse 5 there. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof he had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. But I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, with which causes through us thanksgiving to God. See, there's bunches of scripture. Right, 15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. A lot of times he'd start out thinking and he'd end thinking. All right, Ephesians 5. All right, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye are sometimes darkness, but now ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. What's he talking about here? Give thanks. Don't get into all this stuff that's not worth talking about. Blabbing stuff we shouldn't be blabbing. Getting in the attitude of gratitude. Okay, let's keep going here. Philippians 4:6. You know what? I didn't finish all this. Let me read on. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Okay, now let's go to, what did I tell you, Philippians? 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Over here, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. All right, Colossians 2. Verse 9. Well, I read that in the earlier word. It's the Ephesians, or the Colossians prayer. This is an inside walk. Right, verse 12, give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. All right, a few more. All right, Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Four, starting with verse 1. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Withal, praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. See, just being thankful just keeps you in a good attitude, a good state of mind. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. It says, in everything give thanks. It didn't say for everything. It says in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. All right, move on to 1 Timothy 4. Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. You know what? This getting into fear, it's caused people to get away from being thankful, and they're fearful. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. If thou put the bread in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of a good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is of that which is to come. So being thankful changes our attitude. Can you be thankful and fearful at the same time? I don't know. I don't think so. All right, 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. I don't think that's right. 2 Timothy 1, 5. Well, I'll read it. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelleth first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. I am persuaded that in thee also. Am I reading the right thing? I'm not reading the right thing. Did I read you first? I read you. Okay, let's keep going here. All right. Psalms 100. I've got three psalms and we'll be done. There's a bunch in the psalms. I just had to pick a few really good ones. All right, Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. All right, Psalms 107, 22. and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. He likes it. He likes it when you put him in remembrance of his goodness. Psalms 116:17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Since it goes against flesh, it's a sacrifice. If you're going to do it, there's a lot of times you don't feel like it. But what does that have to do with it? See, there's protocols when you come before a king. And how are you going to get something good out of the king if you're griping and complaining and a moaning and a bawling and a squalling? But you come and say, oh, you're the greatest. You're faithful. Put him in remembrance of what he is and how great he is. How great are you, God? See if it might make a difference. All right.